This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. We're focusing in on fake service dogs and a new law that went into effect this week. Joining us today are Senator Russell Ruderman, who represents Puna and Kau on the Big Island. He's credited with introducing legislation to help crack down on owners of fake service dogs. It was triggered by an incident in his store, Island Natural Market, and it's a group of natural food stores on the Big Island. He joins us by phone. In studio this morning is Francine Wai. She has long served as the executive director of the Disabilities Communications Access Board, which advocates for people with disabilities and tracks legislation affecting our community with special needs. Jim Kennedy is with Hawaii Fido Service Dogs. It's a nonprofit that operates a certified training center for service dogs here in the islands. He's also a member of St. Francis Healthcare Foundation and volunteers in pet therapy work at St. Francis Hospice. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
So glad that you're here. Now, Senator Ruderman, could you refresh our memories about the incident that triggered this?
Sure, and thank you. You know, this has been a growing concern over the last several years, as most people know, as more and more people bring their pets with them, and some of them call them service dogs to allow them to be in places. The particular incident that happened to me about a year ago was here in my store, where a smallish elderly woman came up to me who was visibly shaking because she had been so frightened by having a very large dog walk past her off the leash inside our store. I happen to know the owner of this dog a little bit. I know it's not a legitimate service dog, and it made me think that, you know, I understand the rights of people who feel the need for their comfort animals, and it's legitimate, and of course I fully support people who use real service dogs. But it occurred to me that people like this woman, they have rights too. You know, they have a right to go into a store and not be, you know, exposed to a dog that frightens them or that isn't behaving the way a service dog is supposed to. And she was just so visibly disturbed that it really touched my heart, and it made me decide once again to try to do something about this. And this bill is the result of that.
And it was a very large dog, right? It was like a Great Dane, and it wasn't leashed.
You have a good memory. It was a Great Dane, kind of. A little bit slobbery, honestly a well-behaved dog, but off the leash. Person refuses to leash his dogs. And, you know, well-behaved by the standards of dogs, but not a service dog, and very large. I mean, honestly, as she put it, it was larger than her by quite a bit. And, you know, so it doesn't bother some people, but it does bother some people.
And I know enforcement has been a big deal, and you have said, too, that you know this is going to be a little tricky to enforce, but we do need to start somewhere, right?
Exactly. That's my thought. And when I talk about enforcement, I understand that police departments have more urgent things to do. I don't expect them to go around enforcing this law. I think it will be enforced only based on complaints or on more complicated situations. But I like to compare it to our littering laws. You know, I'm not sure that we gave out a lot of littering tickets last year, but the existence of the law still affects people's behavior. You have signs by the side of the road saying littering is against the law, $250 fine, whatever. And so the combination of signage and education and peer pressure tends to make people law-abiding citizens, even without a policeman coming and enforcing it. And I believe that's true with a lot of our laws, and I think that that's the way this law will primarily work, to encourage people to do what's right and follow the law, and it will also help educate people, because now I can put a sign in my window saying it's illegal to falsely represent an animal as a service dog.
And Francine, enforcement has been a big issue for your group.
Yes, it certainly has. I think that when we testified at the legislature with this bill, before it was Act 217, our major concern was that we didn't see a place where people would be able to call if they had a concern. And our position, though, was tempered by the fact that we absolutely know that there are problems out there. I have board members who have service animals, and they've all experienced problems with their dogs being attacked or frightened and not being able to do their duty. So we cautiously supported it, but we really wanted to have a stronger enforcement mechanism. I think the senator is correct in that by itself, there probably won't be a lot of enforcement because the police have many other things on their plate. On the other hand, I think that if there is a situation where a dog attacks another dog, or there is, and there are other laws for attacking service animals that on the statute, that should that come to light, then this might be tagged on to another citation relating to the behavior of the animal. So what we are trying to do right now is to focus on behavior of the animal and let people know that if you want to call the police, call them because the animal is misbehaving. You may suspect that it's not a service animal, but don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that the animal is misbehaving, and then if it turns out in the process there is an issue of misrepresentation, that might be tagged on.
Okay. And then, Jim, you had a personal experience, right, with the dog being attacked?
Yeah, we have. My wife is blind and has been for 40 years, totally for 18, and she's been a guide dog user for 3 years. I mean, for 18 years on her third guide dog. On her second guide dog, Angela, we were on a jetway, and we were waiting to board an aircraft, and there was a big shepherd in front of us with a service dog vest, but there was no leash or harness attached to this animal, and the lady assured everyone in the area that was a legitimate service dog and wasn't harmless, and within seconds that dog turned around, spun, and tried to get Angela by the neck, and I literally jumped in and grabbed that collar seconds before she would have hit Angela. Fortunately, Angela was being trained well and generally is taught to ignore confrontation, but that still could cause some problems with dogs, a regular dog. Angela just was like, oh, please, what's your problem? It was really quite funny the way she dealt with it, but this incident was not funny at all. It is an example, though. My wife's first dog had to be retrained for 30 days after being attacked by a shepherd.
Oh, my goodness.
She went total catatonic. Attacks are really not all that common, but, boy, the downside of that is really serious.
And where did the attack happen?
Well, the first one was in our neighborhood, okay, and that was not involving a fake service dog deal, but it was an example of what can happen to a service dog.
Traumatized.
The second one was on a jetway. I won't mention the airlines because it wasn't their fault, but we were on our way back to Honolulu from Los Angeles, and this was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So these things are real. Our real concern, and Senator, I really want to thank you so much for supporting and endorsing and authoring this bill. Our biggest concern is with people misrepresenting their animals as service animals when they clearly are not. And it's easy to do because you can go online for $69.95, get a vest, get IDs, certifications, all of that. And it really makes it easy for someone to slap it on their fifi and walk into the store with impunity. You know, you got to let me in, it's a service dog. That's where we had a problem. You know, the enforceability issue was a big one. We addressed that head on in our testimony. We thought we had three options. Don't do anything and let this problem escalate. Wait till ADA law changes, and if, excuse my friends, that will be when pigs fly. And then the third is go with the law and hope for a good, solid deterrent effect, especially with education, education, and education. And we've committed as an organization to help get that out. I think it's been pretty effective in the last few weeks.
And I know a number of stores across the state have been putting up signs.
Yes.
Senator Ruderman, I don't know, what's been your experience? Are you hearing from any of your constituents? Have their dogs been attacked? Or what's the situation on the Neighbor Islands?
I haven't heard of a whole lot of attacks. I mean, that's occasional and the rarest of occasions. I do think there's been already a great deal more interest and attention to this issue as a result of this law passing and about to go into effect. Now, there's been articles here and there. There's been discussions about it. I get almost completely support for this bill, with some rare and very vocal exceptions. But, I mean, I had the attendant at the airport gives me a high five a few weeks ago. I say, what for? And she goes, the service dog bill. And someone at a medical office said the same thing to me. And I also have, as far as I know, 100% support from the disability community, who understands that this is in support of legitimate service dogs. So I get a lot of support for it, although occasionally I get ridiculed for passing another dumb law, or why don't I focus on what's important. But if you're a service dog owner, this is important to you, you know, or if you're afraid of animals and want to go into stores undisturbed, it's important to you.
Right, and you mentioned that there have been articles. There was one in Island Dog, the winter edition, putting the collar on fake service dogs. Posers beware. New law kicks in January 1st. There was the article in the Star Advertiser, and then there was also something, I believe, in Ahoy Business Magazine.
Correct.
So listeners out there, if you haven't seen these and want to find out more, you can pick one of these magazines up or go online.
Yeah, and certainly at the federal level, Jim is absolutely correct that some changes need to be made with the federal law, and we don't have any ability to modify that here at the state level. We actually supported as a board that the Department of Justice would implement a registration or certification program similar to the program for disabled persons who have a parking placard, which incidentally we administer through our office. But it was their choice not to go that route, and we believe that at its core, that's the biggest problem, because there's no way to verify or that somebody has legitimately gone through a process. But I'd like to address one issue, and it's one that is really presents one of the biggest challenges for this law, and that is that in places of public accommodation or government facilities, you're not allowed to bring an animal unless it's a service animal. But in housing in particular, and in airlines to some extent, although the airlines are in the process of revising their rules, but in housing, it's a problem because you can have a comfort animal or an emotional support animal. So many people who go into those scenarios, condominium, they don't have to have a service animal. They just have to have an emotional support, comfort, companion animal if they are a person with a disability. And we hear far more complaints about those situations where you have dogs that are not well behaved. And when you're in a close living quarter, like a condominium, you do have altercations between service animals, service dogs, and other types of emotional support animals. And many of the individuals who can take, or can, let me rephrase that, who are allowed to have an emotional support animal in their residence are not allowed by law to take it into a place of public accommodation, but they don't understand that.
Right, they think that if it's okay at home and you have these housing laws that back you up, then why can't I take Fido to Nordstrom?
Yes, that's right.
Similarly, the Air Carrier Access Act allows individuals with their emotional support dog and appropriate documentation to take that animal on board the cabin with them. And like Francine says, you know, we have these accommodations for emotional support dogs, and they're both federal laws. And I personally wonder, and I really think that some of the abuse, comes from people who have emotional support dogs who think because they are protected in housing or on aircraft, well, this is a service dog, and it is not. Clearly, the ADA clearly says a emotional support dog does not have the access or the level of status of a service dog. And same thing now with the state law. The state law was reworded to absolutely mirror the ADA interpretation on that.
Right, so there's confusion on the definition and what is covered by the American with Disabilities Act.
That's right. Here you have two federal acts that allow either access on an aircraft or a pet in a housing situation that otherwise does not allow pets. And they're thinking, oh, I'm covered by federal law. This is a service dog. I can go anywhere I want. It's not.
We do have a couple of calls. We have one from Hilo. Tom, are you on the line? What's your question?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
Sure. So my concern is, like with Fido Services, I've heard of his company. He's been around for quite a long time. Whenever I kind of feel like we're putting our cart before the horse, because we made the law without putting within the law that you have to have a vocationally licensed dog trainers to train these animals as service animals. So you have all these people running around saying, my dog's a service animal. So at what point do these people who say, oh, I'm a dog trainer, start popping up? And what sort of dog training system are they using to train these dogs in order to make these dogs so-called service dogs? So at some point, we're going to have to address the fact that these trainers have to be licensed to the DCCA through their vocational licensing branch to give that law more teeth. And it's just going to have to happen at some point, and I'll hang my phone up. Thank you so much for this subject.
All right, thank you.
I have
Jim?
A comment on that. Yeah. I understand your concern. It's interesting. The ADA very specifically says an individual with disabilities is allowed to train their own dog as a service dog. And that registration not only is not required, but it's really forbidden. So an individual who trains their own dog, if they do it well, can have a legitimate service dog. So it creates a problem on the whole certification idea. So how do those get certified if there is a certification program? And I wish ADA allowed it.
I wish we do too.
We're all on the 100% same page there. But right now, until ADA changes, that's not going to be allowed.
Share with our listeners, how many organizations are there out there that you're aware of that actually train dogs and are certified?
Well, right here in Hawaii, there are two.
Two.
Yeah, the one on Maui and our organization here on Oahu.
And what's the name of the one on Maui?
It's Mal Moore's organization.
Canine.
I think they changed their name long ago, too. I apologize.
Okay, well, we can track that down as well and share with our listeners. Senator Ruderman, you had mentioned you were having some complaints in about condo dwellers and the issue of comfort dogs versus service dogs.
Well, as was mentioned earlier, that's an aspect of this issue that has not been addressed. My bill only addresses the public accommodation aspect and doesn't go to the housing rules. And I became aware of what a problem this is when I had a visitor and also was invited on a panel discussion. I think Jim was there as well, and Francine. And we learned, I think it's the Hawaii Association of Condo Owners or something like that, that they're facing a fast-growing problem of people claiming that their pets are comfort animals, and they're required to be allowed to live there, even in places that have a no-pet policy. And once again, there's probably some legitimate instances which are unfortunately confused with a large number of not so legitimate instances where people are saying, I need four cats for my four different comfort needs. And just like with the woman in my store, my heart goes out to someone who bought, maybe they invested their life savings in a retirement house, and maybe they're allergic to pets or don't like pets, or they chose a place that has a no pets policy. Because they, for whatever reasons, their peace and quiet, their allergies, whatever, and now someone moves in next door with a dog or a cat, and the association can't do anything about it because they claim them as a comfort animal, but you've just changed this other person's whole life, and I think there's a certain aspect of it that's unfair, and I think we need to find a solution for that. My bill does not cover that. I don't necessarily have the answer, but I think we do need to bring some clarity to that aspect of it.
We did have another call from the Big Island. A shy caller wanted to address the issue of some animals aren't represented as anything but pets, and they're going into shops and business establishments, stores that are pet-friendly. And I know that this is an issue. I believe the Hawaiian Humane Society may be
yes.
trying to propose a bill this legislative session to allow dogs in and animals in restaurants.
Yes, they are looking to change the Hawaii state law, which would allow a restaurant, not require them, but to allow a restaurant to become pet friendly. Right now, because of both federal law and the food safety codes, you are required to modify your no pets policy, and you are required to allow a service animal in, but you're not required to allow either a comfort animal or a pet. But there are enough establishments that are interested, I suppose, in having pet friendly. I think there's a pet friendly or cat cafe in Kapahulu, for instance. You can bring your cat, and I don't pretend to know what their license status is, but having pets are very important for many people. There's no question that the emotional bond that people have with their pets is strong, and if people could take that out to their animal out to a restaurant, then that would be that would facilitate them getting out of the house and socializing. The issue, of course, is to what extent does that infringe upon other people's rights, but particularly in a food establishment, there are requirements with respect to handling food.
Right.
And so they are proposing that. Right now, if a shopping mall wanted to be pet friendly, or they could do that. They could just say you're allowed to bring a pet in if you want.
I have seen shops where they have little trays of water, you know, and snacks for dogs passing by, you know, or cats, although I don't really see cats. But and I know in the instance, I think, of that one cat cafe and other cat cafes across the country and across the world, really, that the health department rules require that the food be kept separate from where the animals are kept.
That was one of the ideas behind the Humane Society's bill. They wanted it not to have to be restricted to an external area. Some say, well, if you allow them internal, it gets a little closer to the food preparation and service animals. Personally, my wife's retired guide, Angela, I'd love to be able to take her wherever we go with my wife's current guide, Buddy. But we can't. She's no longer a service dog. She's not functioning as a service dog. So when it's a little bit inconvenient, if we're going to be gone 4 or 5 hours, she goes to a doggy daycare, or we have a pet sitter, what have you. But we do it to have her taken care of, and we don't try to abuse the law by slapping a vest on her and having me walk in with her. Let's say, you know, she's not a service animal anymore. I do not have a disability, so you have to have a disability and a service animal to be a legitimate service dog team.
Right, you're honest.
That's right.
And honest.
And we've had the Hawaii Humane Society come and speak to our board members. We have not taken a position, and there's pros and cons about having an establishment be pet friendly. And the biggest plus is that if it's pet friendly, then nobody has to worry about asking for certification or looking for a vest or answering any questions. If all dogs are welcome, then I can walk in with my dog and nobody has to even know whether I have a disability or not,
yeah.
Right? The downside, of course, is that you open it up to any animal regardless of behavior, and those animals become, those animals that are legitimate service animals are exposed to more potential unruly behavior. And that's what you find in condominiums, as an example. there are pet-friendly condominiums, and they have standards that talk about, you know, this is what you have to do with your dog. You have to pick up the poop. You have to go in these areas. You have to make sure it's on a leash. And if you have those rules for all animals, then singling out a person with a disability doesn't become the focal point. On the other hand, really, the behavior of the animal becomes paramount.
Right, so it kind of muddies the waters then.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think it confuses the issue, because right now there are different laws and different situations, and a lot of people just don't know where they can take their animal.
Well, I know in Europe there are a lot of places where you can bring your animals into an establishment, whether it's a cafe, open-air cafe, that kind of thing. Well, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We're talking about a new law that went into effect that is meant to discourage people trying to pass off their pets as service dogs. You can join the discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
3 years ago, the Cuban government was talking about reforms, but now Cuba has a new president, and he's taking a hard line. For example, one new law prohibits Cubans from making art without a license. Three artists staged a protest and got dragged off to jail. One of them, she's out now, tells us what it's like to be an artist in Cuba today. Her story on The World.
This afternoon at 1.
You can hear a voice as pure as the prairie wind when Patti Clayton performs in HPR's Atherton Studio on January 12th. Her original ballads and borrowed songs celebrate the present and the yesteryear of the American West. Reserve your seats now at hprtickets.org or by calling the station during business hours. Station members enjoy discounted pricing. Sponsored by Bonnie Rice and the Rice Partnership Wealth Management.
You are back with The Conversation, and if you're just joining us, our guests in the studio are Francine Wai and Jim Kennedy and Senator Russell Ruderman, who is joining us by phone. We did want to let our listeners know that the Maui organization that we were talking about earlier that does train service dogs is the Assistance Dogs of Hawaii. And we do have a call coming in from Hilo. Jocelyn, what's on your mind? Jolyn. Are you there?
Many, many times. Yes. He had big dogs, every single kind dog. They let the dogs go in the car. He had became to have an attitude towards dogs. He became a dog hater. You know, am I now supposed to wear my dog tags on me when they come and challenge me for my dog? Am I supposed to wear my papers or keep my papers with me now when I walk around or go into a store? I really do try to respect stores. And when I do go into stores, you cannot see stores with all kinds of dogs. But his store, you always saw every kind animal, dog, everything in his store. That is my comment. Thank you.
Okay, and I believe she was talking about Senator Ruderman. She has some issues, I guess, with the pets in your store and believes you're a dog hater.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear all of her directly. Well, I mean, I don't know really what she said.
Yeah, we were having some issues with the audio. It was fading in and out.
You know, nothing's further from the truth. I love dogs, and I have nothing but respect for dogs, dog owners, and I love animals in general. This bill, its purpose is to support legitimate service dogs and their owners and their need for legitimate service dogs. When someone says, you must hate dogs, if I ask someone, is that a service dog, or the correct question I'm allowed to ask, and someone comes at me with some big blustery, oh, you must hate dogs, instead of simply answering the question, that tells me that they're throwing up a smokescreen that is the surprisingly typical behavior from someone who's trying to abuse this law. And they want to talk about whether I hate dogs instead of whether my dog is a service animal. It's just a way of creating a diversion and getting people to back down. And my position is everybody else has rights too, and we ought to treat legitimate service dogs with the respect and the deference that they deserve and that the law intends. And that involves making it clear that they're in a different category from other dogs.
We do have another call coming in from Kaneohe. Michelle, are you still on the line?
I am. Aloha.
Aloha. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to just put in a comment that I really wish that people who have dogs would be really cognizant of whether or not their dog is socially acceptable around people and other dogs. I had an incident in Pearl City Walmart some weeks ago. Okay, I no longer have a dog. My dog passed away, and I can't have one right now. So, you know, don't put me in a category of I don't like dogs. I love dogs. I adore dogs. But anyway, I had been petting a lady's dog in a cart who was very well behaved, and she was happy to share her dog. And then this other man comes up behind me with a cart, and he's got his dog on a leash, adorable little, like, 15, 20-pound little, God, furry thing. And usually I ask permission. And this one time I didn't. And I went, oh, how adorable, reached down to pet him, and he lunged at me and nearly snapped my hand. Now, if I'd have been a little kid, I may not have been so lucky, but this guy, he didn't even apologize. He didn't even blink. He just looked at me right straight in the eye and went, you're the one who put your hand out. And I was so flabbergasted, I just didn't even say a word, but I was just thinking, okay, you bring your dog into a place like Walmart, you got him on the floor, and you expect everybody else to assume that he's not safe to touch in a store? Not appropriate. Anyway, I will go offline now. Thank you, and you guys have a wonderful Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks so much for sharing that story.
You know, that's an interesting situation. Brings up a couple of points because I couldn't tell from her comments whether he was pretending that was a service dog or not.
Yeah.
So, but if you have a legitimate service dog, that dog should not be petted. That dog is a working animal. And when the animal is working, and I'm assuming when Walmart let the animal in, that they thought it was a service animal. But, without being there, we don't know what transpired and what the individual claimed. But you don't want to disrupt a trained service animal.
In a situation like that, though, when you say focus on the behavior, then if that happened to me in a store, then would I then go to the store and say, I almost got my hand snapped
off
here?
Yes, and that animal is, the ADA does say that a trained service animal must be under the control of its handler. And therefore, if that does not occur, then you ask the establishment to remove the animal because of its behavior, regardless of whether the person claimed it was a service animal or the establishment said, we're pet friendly and we're going to allow dogs in.
She's absolutely right. A legitimate service animal, if it misbehaves, can be asked to leave, and the owner of that establishment would be protected. Behavior is the main point in measuring whether or not it's a service animal. You don't have this registration, but behavior of a service animal is generally they're usually not in shopping carts, they're not in baby carriages, they're not in Gucci purses. How can they help the person when they're not four on the floor? There are a couple exceptions, though. I might make one really good one. If it's a medical alert dog, it could be a smaller dog and held in a carry pack right close to the person's chest, or so that they can have a chance to pick up on the scent, to alert the person that they may be having a seizure, or to check their blood sugar. And most always they're on leashes to boot, not just loose in a baby carriage. The leash laws is really important here. There again is an exception, and that is if using a leash inhibits that dog from performing the task it's been trained to perform. And there are some very clear exceptions in the newspaper, that article on Sunday, they give an example of someone with PTSD. But you still have to have full control over that dog verbally and beside you.
We do have another call from Hawaii Kai. Laurel, what's on your mind?
Yes.
Hi, you there?
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
So, thank you for taking this call. I've been listening to the conversation, and the reason I'm calling is because, first of all, I want to say that I completely understand the need for service animals in general, and then the sort of relatively more modern development of anxiety assistance, things like that. So I fully respect the use of the service animals for that. What I'm realizing is that there's a disconnect in the conversation and the conversation at large about service animals and challenges in communities and public spaces, where we're referring on the one hand to service animals, but we're really discussing dogs. And that leads into another context. Now, granted, somebody may have a service cat. Okay, I have two cats. They would never want to go in the store with me or walk along the floor on a leash. Somebody else's might. I don't have a service iguana, although I did know a guy when I lived in San Diego who did have a service parrot he wore on his shoulder. But really, that's sort of anecdotal. I'm wondering why aren't we referring to really service dogs? In my lifetime, I've never seen a service not dog on a leash in public. I grew up with, you know, that's a blind person's dog, or that's a hearing, you know, disabled person's dog. So I don't really get that. And if we're discussing, the second point is if we're discussing anxiety and PTSD or just general fear of dogs, I don't hate dogs. I think they're cool if they're under control, but I really get frustrated when there's a service animal, I don't know, on the ground, on the patio in front of me while I'm eating out on the marina somewhere, or if I'm walking down, like we discussed, Walmart, or in Ross Discount Store, someone's got it in their cart, a dog. That's fine, but I don't know if the dog's going to bite me or not. I get anxiety from that, but it's not the kind of anxiety I can handle, you know, by bringing my cat. I'd freak out my cat more than me.
All right.
So really I'm looking at the big picture, the words we're using and how we're articulating the issue, and is it really service animals versus service dogs? Again, no judgment. I have, like, no issue with the big picture of people needing help, but it's how we articulate the discussion, and maybe the experts can take a look at that.
I'll take one part, and Francine,
help.
I'll take the other. Thank you so much for that point. I have to tell you that the ADA itself requires the service animal to be a dog, with one exception. Miniature pony is allowed. A miniature pony is not, I think it's still pretty big, but it has a life expectancy of about 2.5 times as long as a Labrador or a Labradoodle. So they make that specific exception. They do not allow any other species to be a service dog or a service animal. So that's one reason why you're always hearing service dog, service dog, service
dog. So there's that distinction.
And in Hawaii, to my knowledge, I don't think we have any miniature horses, but they are in selected areas on the mainland.
Yeah, over in Waimanalo, there's a miniature horse raiser, and they do some therapy work with it, but they're not trying to train them to be service animals, absolutely.
Right. I could see.
If I could add,
yes.
There's two parts to my bill, or a couple of parts, but one part specifically changes the wording of our state laws to conform with ADA. It changes the word service animal to service dog because of what we just talked about, that in reality there are only service dogs with the exception of miniature horses. And in Hawaii there are only service dogs at this time.
And I know that the legislation, I think, that the Hawaiian Humane Society was considering it would be allowing animals into eating establishments, and that could kind of then muddy the waters. And that, okay, you could bring your cat in, and then, you know, if the other animal, let's say, is not well behaved, and then you got cats and dogs.
Yes, and another
issue. If I could address that, you know, if an establishment decides to be pet friendly, and say I'm a cat cafe, or a good example is Pet Mart, where, you know, all animals are welcome. If we were to extend that to eating establishments by their choice, there would at least be this. There would at least be the sign or the knowledge that this is a pet-friendly establishment. If you want to come in here, you have to be aware that you may be exposed to someone's animals who aren't trained like a service dog. And you can choose to go in there or not. But the last caller was describing whether she's comfortable with, you know, a large dog laying on the floor in a cafe, for example. The reason that's a problem is because so many people have been bringing their non-service dogs wherever they go. If that weren't happening, and if that were limited to only service dogs, that experience would be very rare compared to what it is now. And that would be an exceptionally well-behaved dog. And that's different from the situation that we have now, where you're seeing a whole range of behaviors, reasons to be apprehensive or concerned. And it's much more common than it would be if it was just a matter of accommodating service.
We do have another call, Lynn from Pune. You've been very patient. You have a suggestion about handicap placards?
I do. For cars to be parked in the state-designated handicap stalls, they have to have a visible placard that is also, I think, issued by the state. Actual ADA service dogs should have, could have, a placard that is issued by the state that assures that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed, that this is a definite service dog, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think this would be a good way for the animal or the owner to display that this is a legitimate service animal rather than just a vest or something like that. My other comment is this issue of service anything seems to have become a political correct incorrect issue. In my opinion, dogs are dogs and people are people. And way back when service dogs started, they were unique, they were very special. Everyone kind of respected them. And nowadays, it seems if you speak against dogs or other animals being allowed to do whatever they want, whenever they want, this is not okay. I hear people who call in want to say very plainly that I don't dislike dogs. Well, that's not the point. The point is, dogs are animals. They have their place.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call. Francine?
Well, let me respond to the caller's first point, which is about certification. We actually agree that it would be a wonderful idea for the state. And when I say the state, I'm obviously talking about an agency like my own, but which would issue some type of identification. Unfortunately, because the federal law says that you cannot require it, there is no point to having that, because only the people who have legitimate animals would probably get it certified. And there's no, as we talked about earlier, there's no a validation of what is a legitimate service animal training organization, because the law says you can self-train. So as an individual, you could go into an establishment and you do not need to have a registration card, and you do not have to go to an established organization And so it does make the whole process a bit moot to have this. We used to have a law on the books a good 50 pre-ADA, and we repealed it, where you could go to the Hawaii Humane Society and you could get a designation on your dog collar. But then people were looking at that and saying, if you don't have that, then we're not going to let you in. So when the ADA passed, we repealed our county ordinances that allowed that. So
what's really key then is to have change on the federal level.
We would love to have that change occur. And then you of course have to have some very specific criteria. Federal law has criteria of who has a mobility disability for a placard. You have to have all that outlined very specifically. The other point is that when the woman mentions, people are people and dogs are dogs, and that's true, but a real well-trained service animal is an extension of a person, just like a person would have a wheelchair. Yes, the wheelchair is not a human being, but it comes together, they come as a package, the handler. And we emphasize over and over that the dog individually doesn't have a right. The handler has a right to be accompanied by their dog. So, yes, that is a distinction between the human and the dog, but they are a team.
The legitimate service dogs have to be trained to perform several tasks to help that person in a meaningful way. Yeah, they can do real obvious things like guide a person who has vision impairment. They can pull a wheelchair. They can hit the open door buttons to businesses. They can pick up things that have been dropped or misplaced and retrieve them. So they're trained to assist a person who has a need, who has a disability and a need. So they're really, as Francine says, they're part of that person. And after they've been together for a few years, they're part of their soul. They really are inseparable.
We have another call coming in from Maui. Lisa Marie, you have a question?
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just calling because I feel that, everybody deserves to be represented, and people who own animals also should have rights to do things. And just, we're so privileged in this country, and I particularly don't like kids. I don't want to go to places where there are kids, but, there's no laws to protect me. Kids are little germ machines, they're out there, they're making a mess, they're disturbing the peace, They make me nervous and give me anxiety, but I'm not going to put that on somebody else. And I don't see anybody writing any legislation to protect me from that. And I'm just wondering why people feel like they should put so much on other people. When we have so much, freedom and, sometimes I feel like people who have animals aren't really represented either. There seems to be laws against your animals, but there doesn't seem to be any laws to really protect people. Like if you want to take your dog to the beach, that's a problem. Or people can take their kids to the beach, and I'm irritated by people's kids who make a mess and, trash and leave, rub plastic crap all over the place and destroy things, Where do we draw a line on that?
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that point. Senator Ruderman, we've got a few minutes left.
The essence of all of our laws, in my opinion, is we are free to do what we want unless it impinges on someone else's freedom and peace. And that's why we have laws in general, and that's why we need laws about where people can take their animals. So I think that, I don't think that's a legitimate point that just got raised. Obviously, if you have an animal, it doesn't mean you can automatically take them anywhere you want without regard for the law and without regard for other people. So this bill is not against animals. It's to protect and support those people who have a legitimate need for a service animal, to protect that right for them to come into public places and not be questioned and not be assaulted or not be disturbed by other animals, as well as the rights of the person who doesn't want to be around an unrestrained animal. So we are protecting people's rights here primarily, and I'm sorry, that was my point. Thank you very much.
Can I make one more comment? And I go back again to the behavior of the animal, because the issue of certification and all is kind of muddy. But we encourage establishments to develop a sheet of paper or post it, or if they can afford to have a sign, they can do a sign, and say, you know, we welcome legitimate service animals. Thank you for coming. We expect your animal to behave in the following manner. Give the person the sheet of paper. We've done this with the zoos, for example. You know, we don't expect that your animal is going to disturb the wildlife, okay? And say, this is what we expect you to pick up the poop. We expect you to be on the leash. We expect this, not lunging at children. And if your animal misbehaves, your animal will be asked to leave, but you may remain.
So just be real clear about it.
Be clear up front, and don't make it too big of an issue, but just say, this is what we expect.
All right. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed the conversation this morning and you've learned something. I certainly have. Again, new law, new year, and lots of things to consider. But again, focus on the behavior of the animal. That might help. We would like to thank our guests, Big Island Senator Russell Rudiman, Francine Wye of the Disabilities Communications Access Board, and Jim Kennedy of Hawaii Fido Services. And we would like to thank you, the listener, for joining in on today's show. And if your call didn't make it on the air during today's discussion, contact the talkback line and leave your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation Podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow, won't you, for more of The Conversation.